This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
Der Fußball ist zurück in der zweiten Liga.
Rechte Neckfahne mit dem linken Fuß. Bringt den Ball auf den zweiten Pfosten. Tische! Tor! 1:0 für den VfL Bochum.
Da draußen ist der Ball frei. Und jetzt ist er drin. Jetzt ist er drin. Und hier ist Botzen, macht das Tor.
Der zählt das 2:2. Drist ist wieder da. Röser ist da.
Für Rausch. Der setzt an zur Flanke. Da kommt der Ball. Tor!
We welcome you to another edition of the Zweite Bundesliga podcast. Your home for the best league in the world. I'm Matthew Carrick, your host for today. It's a pleasure to have your company. And we are going to try and get through a mental round match day 11. And of course, we have plenty more to go through. Match day 12 is nearly upon us. And maybe we'll sprinkle a bit of DFB Pokal in between. Of course, that second round started last night of the time of recording. It's Wednesday morning German time. So there's plenty to cover. And of course, your topic questions that you have sent in for us. So it is a big show. And let's kick on with my co-host for today, really someone who needs no introduction, but will get one anyway, formerly covered Bayern Munich with ESPN, is now currently covering the Bundesliga and Zweite Bundesliga for Who Scored. It's the one and only Mark Lovell. Mark, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks for inviting me on. We have lots of fun things to talk about this week. Look forward to it.
It's an absolute pleasure to have one of the big guns of German football in terms of media. So we're happy to have you. And without further ado, let's get on with it. And that is starting at the Volkspark Stadion in Hamburg. They hosted Stuttgart. This was the top Spieler, 1v2. Expected a gangbuster game. And this was scoreboard anyway. One-way traffic, 6-2 to the hosts. Sonny Kittel with a brace, Bakary Jatta. Gonzalo Castro scoring an own goal. Martin Harnik getting one against his former employers. Adrian Fine getting in the goals. Nicolas Gonzalez and Silas getting in the goals for Stuttgart. But this, the big talking point had to be Stuttgart's defense all over the place. They gave up 15 shots on goal and 6 of those went in.
Yes, Matt, tragic result for Stuttgart. Just shows you how much they missed Holger Badstuber, who was suspended for his industrial language the week before. So, you know, you could see from the cup game, just fast forward to the cup game last night, you know, where Badstuber was not suspended. He was fit to play. And how much security and strength Badstuber gave to the Stuttgart defence on that game. And they were sadly missing that in the 6-2 defeat in the Bundesliga. They were very weak and very brittle. You know, they fought back well with more luck from the referee. Had a goal disallowed. They could have got it back to 4-3. More pressure on Hamburg. But, you know, you have to give credit to Dieter Hecking. He's taken Hamburg to the top of the table. And, you know, obviously there was less expectation in Hamburg because of, you know, what happened last season. But Dieter Hecking maybe doesn't get the credit he deserves as a coach. He did a good job at Wolfsburg, you know, albeit with, you know, a world-class player like Kevin De Bruyne in his side. But, yeah, it's good to see Hamburg top of the table and heading back to the Bundesliga for sure this season.
Yeah, they're doing everything right. And they did virtually everything right in this game. They capitalised on mistakes. The first two were basically gift-wrapped from Maxim Awuja, who has had probably two of the worst introductions into Zweite Bundesliga football I can remember. He's virtually assisted on 3 goals on his own, a penalty, the own goal on the opening match day, and then he basically gifted Jatta his goal. Agreed with the Badstuber comment, and that, which is a surprise because he wasn't initially in the almost the plans of Tim Valti. He comes in and he's made that defence much more stable. But yeah, they certainly missed him on that Saturday afternoon there. They were comprehensively beaten and they will hope to break what is a 3-game losing streak in the Zweite Bundesliga on the weekend. We'll move on to Nürnberg and Jan Regensburg. A little bit of a Bavarian derby sort of affair. Good crowd for this one. This game ended all square at a goal apiece. Hanno Behrens opened the scoring 7 minutes before halftime. And a game really Nürnberg should have put away, but as is the case, when you don't finish your dinner, someone else will. And Jan Regensburg, 4 minutes into stoppage time, corner comes in. Goalkeeper Alexander Meyer, the namesake of the legendary Fußball gods. Just different spelling. Heads on, Jan-Marc Schneider, of course, signing from St. Pauli in the summer, taps in to give Regensburg a share of the points. And a great point this for Jan. It keeps them in the top six, but it's a lot of what could have been for Nürnberg.
Yeah, it sums up Nürnberg's season so far, Matt. They've dropped 11 points from winning positions already this season, 11 points. And if they'd have won all those points, they'd be top of the league ahead of Hamburg. That says it all. They haven't finished off games, haven't closed off games. This is typical, you know, and they're in eighth, you know, and it's not really fitting their expectations. Relegated from the Bundesliga last season, they're expected to be pushing for the top two, three places. But the coach Damir Kanadi will get some more time. I don't expect Nuremberg board to press the panic button just yet because they're playing well enough. They just really need to be more clinical.
Absolutely agree, and this game kind of showed it. And there was a little bit of frustration in this game from Nürnberg, of course, when Mikkel Frey was substituted off for Mikkel Ishak. There was a bit of hostilities in the reaction, but you know, that can come with any player coming off. No one likes to be off in a game which your team is winning. It's a frustrating result, and as you mentioned, it's kind of been sort of sums up their season so far. They just cannot finish teams off that we expect them to do so. But conversely, with Jan Regensburg, this is something they've done for the last 3 years. Obviously now with Mirsad Selimbegovic, previously with Akin Bielorza, they're just a team that never goes away in particular. They find ways to get results, and this was another case. It came via an unlikely source, but it's a fantastic point that they would have taken, and I'm sure the short drive home would have been a nice one for them nonetheless. We'll move to our final Group 1 game, which was in Heidenheim. They hosted St. Pauli, and this was a 1-0 win for the host, Norman Toyekalf, getting the only goal on 59 minutes. A big win for Heidenheim. They moved to fifth place now. St. Pauli, it's another disappointing day, a game where they once again had a ton of the ball, Mark, but they just couldn't convert that into opportunities on goal and then finishing the product.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, St. Pauli seem to have, you know, the goals have dried up since the derby win against HSV. Heidenheim, yeah, doing Heidenheim things. The sort of team, just get things done, keep, you know, picking up points. We talked about Jan Regensburg, the less fashionable sides in the second division. And, you know, the coach, Frank Schmidt, knows exactly what he's doing. He's a very underrated coach. And the players want to play for him, and they put in performances week in, week out. And consequently, they've moved into fifth place, just outside of the promotion places.
Yep, only 4 points behind Stuttgart in that third place playoff spot, again, 2 points behind Auer. But there is a nice little logjam in that table. You look from fifth all the way down to 15th, there's only 4 points, so it's... as per usual, very tight in this league. It was another good home win for Heidenheim. Just as, you know, almost a status quo sort of thing. It is a tough place to get a result, and St. Pauli once again found that out. We will take a quick break, and on the other side, we'll get to our Group 2 helpings. We'll start in Dresden when they hosted Arminia Bielefeld. Dresden is where we begin our Group 2 games as they hosted Bielefeld. Two sides who were in very indifferent form heading into this game, and it was the visitors, Arminia Bielefeld, taking a 1-0 win over Dynamo. Andreas Vogelsammer's goal in 63 minutes, enough to give the visitors a win. It was a fourth consecutive defeat for Dynamo. It meant that Bielefeld, with Stuttgart's loss, shot up to second place in the Zweite Bundesliga table. At the start of the season, Mark, we spoke about how Bielefeld were one of those sneaky promotion, at least promotion playoff candidates. A result like this against a team that's really struggled to grit, to grind out a result, those are the kinds of things that teams that look to get promoted anyway do.
Absolutely. Keeping a clean sheet on the road. This result would have meant a hell of a lot to their coach, Uwe Neuhaus, who was fired in Dresden in February. So he'd have been secretly smiling at this. Yeah, clean sheet. They've tightened up the defence in recent weeks, which is important because at the start of the season they were leaking a few goals, and they have the quality in the final third to hurt teams as well. So it's, you know, they have one defeat all season, which I believe was a last-minute goal in Stuttgart, you know, against the run of play when they had a man sent off. All things are looking good for Bielefeld. It's good to see them doing well.
Yeah, they've been fantastic this season. We will gloss over their cup game from this morning. We'll do that in just a second. Yeah, they were very astute defensively in this game, and they've got the talent up front. You've got Vogelsammer, of course, Fabian Klose, who is just, he's brilliant. He's been brilliant since Neuhaus has come in. He's almost rejuvenated the squad in such a way that, you know, since he's come in, I think this is their fifth or sixth consecutive away win. That was after they were beaten 5-1 at Köln. So last season, so they've been able to carry on the great form from last season, and they are in absolutely great shape to make something happen going forward. They did play in the cup against Schalke 04. That game ended 3-2. We'll quickly touch on it, Mark, because they were 3-0 down Bielefeld at halftime. They were absolutely smashed. They had only one shot on goal heading into halftime, but they showed some grit and determination. They made it 3-2, 10 minutes before time, and they had an absolute chance to send this game into extra time.
Absolutely. It just shows you what's possible. Under the floodlights in Bielefeld is a really tremendous atmosphere, and they gave Schalke a real shock, and they fought back, and they easily could have took it to extra time. Schalke were hanging on amazingly at the death there. It was a great game, a great comeback, and it showed you exactly why Bielefeld are riding high in the second division.
Absolutely, and it may have given me a heart attack late in the stoppage time when Lokoki had a chance and Vogelsammer hit the post. And yeah, I think we need to move on from that because that was painful enough to have to experience the fact that Bielefeld probably could have easily had stolen the round of 16 sort of entry. We'll move on to Kiel. They hosted Bochum on Friday night. It was a 2-1 win for the hosts. Lee Jae-sung opened the scoring, and then one of the more stranger scenes, but that's kind of what we expect in the Zweite Bundesliga, when our new substitute, Mikael Eberwein, who is from Kiel, interfered with the play, but the ball hadn't crossed the line, apparently. They went to VAR, it was a penalty, Gamvula scoring, and then Yanni Serra, who's played for both sides, both Bochum and now Kiel, he scored the game-winning goal. We won't spend too much time on the weird scenes that happened in that first half, because I'm pretty sure that's been run and done on all the social media channels. Let's talk about the game itself. Another great win for Kiel. It's three wins in their last five, and it coincides with Oli Werner's contract, which goes till 2022. He's really done a good job in rediscovering that Kiel identity.
Absolutely. He managed to win his first home game here. He'd got a couple of wins on the road, including one in Stuttgart, but this was an important win in front of their home fans. With that bizarre penalty, we'll move on from that. But Kiel, you know, they seem to be heading in the right direction, up to mid-table now in 10th place, whereas Bochum, you know, struggling. You know, they've drawn too many games. This was their first defeat in five, but, you know, too many draws like Nuremberg, and that's why they're struggling in 16th place. You know, just haven't finished off games, and they're letting in goals, too many goals. 24 conceded, the joint worst defensive record in the league, along with the bottom side, Wiesbaden.
Yeah, and it's certainly not what the status majority of us thought was going to be the case. You know, it's quite clear that they've got talent across the board. You've got your Simon Zolas. Danny Blum has been a relatively decent signing for them. But for some reason, whatever it is, they can't pull it together defensively. They are, well, make your own mind up. Very questionable. Manuel Riemann's been quite good recently. He saved his second consecutive penalty in 2 weeks, denying Sarah. But Sarah, of course, would get the last laugh. We'll stay on Borkum because they played their DFB Pokal game against Bayern Munich last night. And they were... That was as gritty performance I think we've seen Borkum produce all season. But of course, that sort of Bayern Dussel, as we may call it, they couldn't hold on. Two goals in the final 5 minutes, Mark, giving the Bavarians the last laughs. But it was a good gritty performance from Borkum nonetheless.
Absolutely. They have nothing to lose against the record German champions, so they can play with a little bit of freedom. Certainly it was all looking great for 80 minutes after Alphonso Davies' own goal in the first half. They're 1-0 up with about 10 minutes to go. And yeah, you know, there's half of, half, 80% of the neutral fans in Germany are wanting Bochum to beat Bayern, and hold on. But it wasn't to be. But Bochum just showed you what they're capable of when there's less pressure, to perform. The expectations in Bochum is that they should be pushing for promotion, and they haven't lived up for that. They've sacked Robin Dutt earlier this season, brought in Thomas Reis. He had a 5-game unbeaten run, but, not enough wins. One win all season out of 11 games, that's not going to do it. They need to turn it around quickly.
They do, and we will talk about that later on when we get to their preview game against Nuremberg, which is on Monday night. So we'll skip forward to the final of our Group 2 helpings, which was Darmstadt and Erzgebirge Aue. This was Dirk Schuster's first time in the Zweite Bundesliga anyway. Returning to Darmstadt with a new club, of course, with Aue. Wasn't to be. It was the host that took the points. 1-0, Dario Dumic scoring the goal 3 minutes from time to give De Leon a much crucial win. It's their second consecutive. It's Aue's first defeat since match day 7. Another much-needed result for Darmstadt, and it helps them move up the table.
Absolutely. Second consecutive 1-0 win. It wasn't pretty. It looked destined for a 0-0. It was an ugly game. But Darmstadt won't care. They get some points against Dirk Schuster, who took them all the way from the third tier to the Bundesliga. He's doing another good job in Aue, taking them to fourth. If they can stay mid-table, and stay up, that will be a successful season for Aue. So, yeah, Darmstadt, their recent Bundesliga history, of course, they had an amazing season there with Dirk Schuster. So, maybe the expectations are a little bit out of sync that, we should be better than we currently are. But, they're not scoring enough goals, Darmstadt. They have, 11 in 11. And so if you're not scoring goals, you're reliant on keeping clean sheets to pick up points, which is, defensively, they've been okay, Darmstadt, and that's why they're mid-table.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, they're 11 goals, 11 matches, and they sit in 11th. So there's something with that. But, yeah, it wasn't one for the purists and the attacking-minded purists, that is. It was pretty scrappy. Aue could have had a goal during the game, but Dumic, who would go on to score the winning goal, cleared on the line. And that was pivotal because it was a game of few good chances. And he took his when it mattered. Good points for Darmstadt. Aue missed the opportunity to go to third had they won and everything had stayed as it was. We'll take our final break from our Match Day 11 review. And on the other side, we'll start in Karlsruhe when they hosted Hanover. The Wildparkstadion hosts the first game of our Group 3 helpings. Karlsruhe hosted Hanover, and this game had plenty of goals. 3 goals apiece. It ended. It wasn't a game without controversy. And that's exactly what you'd expect from this league. Two goals for Henrik Weidand and a single goal for Marvin Dukes for Hannover. Marvin Vanicek from the penalty spot. Daniel Gordon, the defender, scoring twice. His goal pivotal in stoppage time to give Karlsruhe a share of the spoils. This game had pretty much everything. Ron Robertzieler was sent off for a second yellow, which was when he tried to punch the ball. In frustration after conceding, he may have punched a different kind of ball. No pun intended. It's shocking, I know. It's another draw for Karlsruhe, Mark, if I'm not mistaken. That is their fifth consecutive draw. But we'll go with Hannover because the weight of expectation on them, which was expected to be a club that was going to at least challenge for promotion, it's been anything but that this season so far.
Absolutely burdened by the weight of that expectation. Mirko Slomka taking his side back to his former employer in Karlsruhe. So, you know, it was looking so good for them, leading, you know, three times in this game. But they were, you know, cut short right at the end, that header by Daniel Gordon. And like you mentioned before, Ron Robertzieler reacting to that frustration, trying to punch the ball away. And he caught something else. And he was sent off. The referee had no option, really, when Gordon went flying through the air like he'd been shot. It's unfortunate for Zila, but yeah, I'm speaking as a former goalkeeper myself. If you do that sort of thing, you leave yourself open and the referee has no option.
Ah, yes, another goalkeeper to the ranks of Zweite Bundesliga podcast. This is unbelievable. We've made it the podcast their own as a ex-goalkeeper myself and couple of others who have played between the sticks. It certainly wasn't a game for the goalkeepers with the amount of goals. Two of those goals scored from the penalty spot. It's a fair result for Karlsruhe. They would be happy with it. They also won in the cup this morning, beating Darmstadt a goal to nil. Philip Hoffmann, the bane of my existence, it seems, this season, continues to score. He scored again, sends Karlsruhe through to the round of 16. So all in all, it's for them, it's a good win to win in the cup, but they want to translate those into the league, and we'll see if they do that on the weekend. Sandhausen and Wiesbaden will probably keep these short. No goals in this one. This was the Monday night helping. Less than 6,000 were in Sandhausen. Not a whole lot to say about this one, Mark, but
this was a game that was played on Monday because both teams were knocked out of the first round of the cup, so that was why it was on TV on a Monday. And it was actually the only result, correct score, that I got right, because I thought, well, you know, Sandhausen have scored the fewest goals in the league, and, you know, along with Osnabrück and Wiesbaden have tightened up at the back, so I thought 0-0 would be a good shout. But yeah, I was glad that I didn't watch this game because it probably would have bored me to tears.
Oh, I had to work while this game was on, so I mean, I'm not too disappointed. But it is their third clean sheet, Wiesbaden, in their last four. So that says a lot that they've found a resolution to a massive problem that they had at the earliest part of the season. Osnabrück and Greuther Fürth is the last of our match day 11 helpings. Two of the lower scoring offensive sides in the league drawing blanks, which is probably not as surprising as we thought.
Absolutely. Osnabrück, the lowest scorers in the league, along with Sandhausen, just said that. But they do have the best defence. Yeah, even better than league leaders Hamburg. So, you know, no surprise that they kept a clean sheet. Greuther Fürth, they picked up the win last week, but they were struggling before that. And yeah, as you say, no surprise that it's 0-0. Daniel Thion's got work to do there to, you know, we can't rely on keeping clean sheets. They've got to find some goals from somewhere to move up the league and keep the relegation at bay.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I've been on the campaign for the Marcos Alvarez starting party because he seems the most likely out of all the strikers they've played this season. But for whatever reason, Daniel Thion believes he's better as a joker, as they say in Germany. But we'll see. you know, I don't think Fürth will be too upset with the result. Keeps them in the top seven. You know, only goal difference keeps them away from being in sixth place behind Jan Regensburg. So all in all, I don't think they'll be too upset with that. We'll take our commercial break. And on the other side, we'll get to our Match Day 12 preview. We have some big games coming up. We'll start at the Elm when Arminia Bielefeld hosts Holstein.
I am Chris.
And I'm also Chris.
And together we do a comedy podcast called Cooking with Grief.
Each week we dive into four surprising facts about anything from science to history to the weird world we live in, making jokes about all of it as we go along.
You can find us on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
And you can also find us on Twitter at Cooking with Grief. No G on cooking.
Glitter, apparently, is so unique that it can be effectively used as forensic evidence.
The Bank of England's chief economist has urged to start using people's Spotify playlists as a way of measuring the economy.
In China, Avengers has been translated as Fulian, or Women's Federation.
Not only did the Russians capture the Crimean Peninsula, they also captured some Ukrainian military dolphins.
In Pinocchio, in the film becomes a real boy. In the original, it ends with a cat and a fox hanging him from a tree.
Scientists have wiped a snail's memory.
And Slytherin's going, can we have an extensive series of tunnels, sort of wide enough to fit a giant people-killing snake?
Where do you fall on the scone-scon debate?
Scone, obviously.
Oh, I go with scone.
So, what have you got to lose? Give us a try.
Nothing to lose but your sweet, precious time.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes, and Match Day 12 is virtually upon us, and we've got all the nine games ready to be previewed, and we will start at the Elm as Arminia Bielefeld host Holstein Kiel. That game is on Sunday. Check your local guides and listings to see where you can watch the game. Both sides are coming in off victories, well, excluding the cup defeat for Bielefeld, but they didn't hold any shame in that. They were very good in the second half, at least. They've met on nine previous occasions, three wins apiece and three draws. They last met at the Elm, and it was a 1-0 win for Arminia Bielefeld. In fact, Bielefeld won both meetings last season, so it is an interesting one. Of course, Bielefeld will look to keep in touch with Hamburg in the top two, whilst Kiel look to continue their march up the table. Based on the table, it might not seem as if it will be a game for Kiel to win, but I think this game has plenty to get into it. How do you think this one will go?
I expect Arminia Bielefeld home win, Matt. But as you said, hosting Kiel should go there with a bit of freedom. They've won three games recently, you know, turning the form around. They've got given the coach a new contract, or the caretaker a contract, given him some security. There's a better atmosphere around the club, so they can go there with, you know, play with some freedom. But Bielefeld, you'd expect them to get the job done on home soil. You know, you could see the quality that they have going forward. And they expect them to win on Sunday to keep the pace with Hamburg at the top of the table.
Yeah, I do expect them to win, but I think Kiel will give them a good test. We expect maybe a couple of changes from that side that played in the cup. Wouldn't be surprised if Hartertz returns for Lukoki, despite how good Lukoki was last night. It seems that Uwe Neuhaus has a favourite in Hartertz, despite the bemoaning of some people. It's like with David Wagner with Schalke. For some reason, he plays Guido Burgstaller. Still don't know why, but that seems to be the case. But wouldn't be surprised if either Klose or Vogelsammer gets on the scoreboard and Bielefeld win at least a goal or two to nil. Our next game is in Wiesbaden. They host Hamburger SV. They've only met on two previous occasions, and both of those have been in the DFB Pokal. Both of those have been Hamburg wins. So this is the first time they've met in league play. So this will be quite interesting. You look at, you know, the table. You've got the team that is bottom versus the team that is top. But when you look at the form guide in the last four, it's even. Two wins, two draws. So despite the table status, Wiesbaden should give them a game. But we do expect Hamburg to win this.
Yeah, that's the problem in itself. They're expected to go there and win easily. You know, they've beaten Stuttgart 6-2 last week. They're playing the bottom of the side, bottom of the table side, Wiesbaden, and expect that brings its own expectations. You'd expect Hamburg to go there and to win convincingly. But as we saw with Stuttgart playing Wiesbaden at home, you know, they're no mugs, Wiesbaden. They need to be treated with respect. I used to live in Wiesbaden, interestingly, so I know all about Wiesbaden. It's a tricky place to go, very tight stadium. There'll be a decent crowd there, unusually for Wiesbaden. You know, they've got the big, you know, for former European Cup winners coming to town, there'll be a good atmosphere, and they will give them a good game.
Yeah, I think they will too. They've certainly amended their defensive issues, as we touched on before. They've brought in an international caliber goalkeeper in Heinz Lindner, who made 28 caps for the Austrian national team. He came as a free agent, so when he fell into their lap, they probably couldn't believe it was actually happening. The goalkeeper troubles that they had earlier on in the season, he's been quite good.
Absolutely, he's really been a real bank at the back. You know, give him a lot of security and a lot of confidence. Very vocal, and at that you need that. Yeah, as a goalkeeper, you know, you're going to talk about the Stuttgart goalkeeper coming up. You know, that's exactly what a football team needs. They need someone to organise and to be confident and shout a lot and organise.
Well, as ex-goalkeepers ourselves, we keepers have the best view of the pitch. They can see exactly what's in front of them. They understand what the structure's got to be. They got to know where their teammates need to be positionally. And, you know, a keeper that doesn't assert himself into the game in that sort of sense is a keeper that is going to set you up for a bit of disaster, because those keepers don't actually play. He's been an improvement on what they've had. It is only a contract until the end of the season, so he's virtually playing for his next contract, wherever that may be.
Absolutely, he's doing a great job. Yeah, it wouldn't be at this stage, won't be any surprised if he's playing Bundesliga football next season.
It will be interesting. Of course, he was at Eintracht Frankfurt, but a Lukas Radetzky was in the way. We'll go to our final Group 1 game. That's Stuttgart and Dynamo Dresden. For our listeners from the UK or the Republic of Ireland, this game will be on BT Sport ESPN or BT Sport Live. And that game is also the Sunday helping. So all three of our games in Group 1 were the Sunday helpings. 14 previous meetings, 7 of those have ended all square, including their last meeting, which was a 3-3 draw. That was at the Mercedes-Benz Arena, as is this one. But the form guide suggests that these are two sides who desperately need to win. Stuttgart winless in their last 3, Dynamo Dresden winless in their last 4. So this is going to be quite interesting. When you look at the record for Tim Walter in particular, this is the second time this calendar year with two different teams that he's lost 3 consecutive games. Yes, winning in the cup against Hamburg last night would be helpful, but it's in terms of league play, this is a game that enters that must-win territory.
Absolutely, he needs to turn it around. Yeah, 3 defeats on the trot, that's not good for a club like Stuttgart looking for automatic promotion. Good for Stuttgart is that they're playing against a side with worse problems than themselves in Dynamo Dresden. And you have to feel for their coach, Christian Fiel. You know, another defeat here, and you have to question his position there in East Germany. You know, so a lot of pressure on both coaches going into this one. But I expect Stuttgart buoyed a little bit by their cup win in Hamburg. You know, talking about expectations earlier, you know, lost 6-2 in the league in Hamburg, and a few days later, exactly the same fixture, and they win in a really good, sound victory. But that game, of course, the cup game, they were boosted by the return of Holger Badstuber in defence, and he won't be available for this one against Dynamo Dresden. So it'll be interesting to see who Tim Walter lines up in defence. They've got this lone defender from Liverpool, Nathaniel Phillips. Maybe he will get a goal, because he'll be looking at Saturday's result and thinking, I can do better, surely, than that, you know, six goals against Hamburg. So, yeah, interesting game. You'd expect a few goals, at least from Stuttgart. You know, need to start taking more of their chances. They've been really profligate in front of goal. And yeah, expect a Stuttgart win in front of 50,000 home fans.
Yeah, it'll be expectant, and they will need to deliver. We talk about the goal-scoring record, Dresden. In the last four defeats, they've only scored once. They've given up nine. In their game against Arminia Bielefeld, they had one shot on target from five attempts. So they need to be a lot better going forward. And I'm glad you brought up Maxim Awuja. The situation with him, I would be surprised if he starts. I think Phillips will... He'd have to play Phillips. After the game Awuja had where he was exposed... on numerous occasions in defensive transition, he gave up the penalty, he gave up the second goal. Rip the band-aid, try Phillips. And I think then at least you can say you've given Phillips a go, and you know, you keep Liverpool happy. But more importantly, you can actually see if he's better than what they had previously before Badge Duba takes over. We'll take our first break from our group. Our match day 12 preview, and on the other side we start at the Milan Tour when St. Pauli host Karlsruhe. Our first Group 2 game is St. Pauli and Karlsruhe. This game is on Saturday afternoon. These two sides have met on 30 occasions. 11 wins for St. Pauli, 9 wins for Karlsruhe, 10 draws. The last time they played was in the 2016-17 Zweite Bundesliga season. St. Pauli won that fixture 5-0. So Karlsruhe looking for their first league win since match day 6. And St. Pauli looking to break a 3-game-without-win trend. This could be an interest... Well, it might not be an interesting game in terms of the styles of plays that both teams... play. How do you see this one going, Mark?
It looks like a draw to me, Matt, on paper. St. Pauli, very tough to beat normally at home, and Karlsruhe have drawn too many games this season. At first glance, looking at it, it looks like a draw.
Yep, tend to agree. Although if I had to pick a winner, I would probably back the hosts. I don't know. It's going to be really... It'll be a tight game. It'll be a 1-0 or a 2-1 sort of affair where it'll take something magical in the last few moments to really break the game open. You look at two sides who... You know, you look at Jos Luhukka, Jos the Boss, who has been relatively critical of his side's performance in Heidenheim. And he's obviously someone who has warranted the criticism. His spell at St. Pauli... Fair to say, Mark, his tenure, which isn't even a year old yet, has been a bit of a rocky one.
Well, obviously, he's coming from Sheffield Wednesday, where there was initial hope that he could turn that club around. But I think the Sheffield Wednesday fans were disappointed by the style of play more than anything. And it was, you know, a very drab and very turgid style of play. Different expectations maybe in St. Pauli. He did a good job, Jos Luhukka in Augsburg, for example, and he knows how to get teams out of the second division. You know, that's why he's been brought in. But I'm personally not a fan of his style of play. It probably means nothing to St. Pauli fans. They just want to see the team win. And if they can grab 1-0 victories, that might be good enough to get them into the... you know, promotion playoff reckoning, but it's going to be a very hard watch for these St. Pauli fans.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see, though. They have dropped in the table, you know, after what was a pretty good patch a few weeks ago. They'll look to turn that around. We'll move to Auer as Erzgebirge Auer host Heidenheim. This one could be quite an interesting one. They've met on 11... previous occasions. Heidenheim have won 6 of those, and they won the last meeting at the Erzgebirge Stadion by 2-0. Heidenheim have won 3 of the last 5 against Auer. You have to go all the way back to 2017 when Auer tasted victory. it's funnily enough that Dirk Schuster has more wins against Heidenheim than Auer does his current employers. So it does make for an interesting dynamic when Auer look to try and keep pace with the top three, whilst Heidenheim look to leapfrog this week's opponent.
Yeah, you would have been laughed at probably pre-season if this, you're saying this is fourth against fifth, but that's the way it's at. Very little between the two sides. It's very hard to predict a 0-0, but this looks like a 0-0 to me. Maximum one goal either way, you know, an edgy result. So that's the way I see it. Another tight fixture, typical second division fixture, very little between the two sides.
Yeah, I'll back a winner. I'm going to back the visitors after another solid win on the weekend against St. Pauli, a team that is, you know, still trying to mould itself after the departures of Nikola Dovedan and Bobby Glatzel. You know, a team that is still, in many regards, still figuring it out what they are. They've brought in the likes of Konstantin Kirschbaumer, who was with Ingolstadt last season, and what a horrible season that was for him on a personal level, with the team going down and just not working there. And Tim Kleinitz as well. They've got good young talent, David Otto, who's on loan from Hoffenheim. So they've got some nice pieces. They're just working the nicks and crannies. But I think, you know, against an Auer side that is clearly overachieving. We, you know, I had them finishing 17th this season, as I did last season, and probably the season before that. So there's probably a growing trend in what they're about. But overall, I think Heidenheim will win. But as Mark said, it will. Our last Group 2 game is in Fürth as Greuther Fürth host Darmstadt. That game is on Saturday afternoon. Two sides that are currently sitting in mid-table. Fürth sitting in 7th, Darmstadt in 11th. But only a point separates the two sides. So at the end of the match day, we could see Fürth rising into the top 5. Or will Darmstadt close the gap and surpass this week's opponent? Darmstadt have to be feeling pretty good when you think about it. Two consecutive wins in league play. We'll exclude the cup defeat to Karlsruhe last night. But their record in Fürth is a bit dour. You have to go all the way back to 1980 for their last win against Fürth away from home. So, Mark, it's a tough one.
Yeah, I'm in danger of repeating myself again, Matt. You know, I've just said about Auer and Heidenheim, you know, very little between the two sides. It's tough with this one as well, you know, two evenly matched sides. Where are the goals going to come from? Two good defences? It's folly to tip a 0-0, but it wouldn't surprise me at all. Maybe, you know, Darmstadt have won the last 2-1-0. That's the way that they would be, you know, hoping to go in Fürth. It's a difficult place to go and win in Franconia. Yeah, it's tough, you know. Tell me, what do you think?
Yeah, I have to agree with you. As much as I want it to be more than... I just can't see it happening, to be honest. It's, yeah, as you mentioned, two very good defensively set up sides, but it's the going forward has been a major issue for both sides. It's well documented that especially with Fürth anyway, that we were unsure with what they had was going to be enough. But they've found ways to get results. So credit to them. They just grind and grind, and, you know, that's what they do well in. But if anything, if I was to pick a winner, I would probably back the host just on the historical reference that they find ways to get results against Darmstadt at home. So I'll probably back a draw, but if I had to pick a winner, it would be the hosts. We'll take our final break, and on the other side, we'll look at our final group three fixtures of match day 12 and answer your topic questions. So we'll start with Bochum and Nürnberg. The Ruhrstadion kicks off our Group 3 games as Bochum host Nürnberg. This is the Monday night's helping. This game will be in the UK as well with BT Sport 1 and BT Sport Live. Two sides that have had consistency issues, it would be fair to say. Two sides who desperately need a win. Very much so the team from the Ruhr Bochum. The last time they met was back in the 2017-18 season, and wouldn't you know it, it ended 0-0. So let's hope that it's a bit different. Of course, Bochum coming off the cup game against Bayern München, where they very much put in a very good shift. As of the time of recording, Nürnberg are getting ready for their cup game against Kaiserslautern. So by the time you're listening, either they've progressed to the round of 16 or they've been knocked out by the team that is currently in the relegation zone of the Dritte Liga. How the mighty have fallen. But let's talk about Nürnberg and Bochum. Mark, this game seems pretty difficult to call. You look at a Bochum side that has scored 20 goals this season, but have given up 24, and a Nürnberg side that just, for some reason, just can't find ways to win. So it almost sounds like a draw is impending.
Yeah, both sides really need to win. You know, these are two sides that I think you know, can do a lot better. We talked about Nürnberg letting points slip, 11 from winning positions. Bochum showed what they could do against Bayern the other night. Yeah, it's an interesting one for me personally, because these are two sides I normally tip to win. And so you can rest assured, if I tip Nürnberg to win, Bochum will probably win. So I'll leave it up to you.
I'm going to pick a draw then. So then, I'm having a hard time separating. I wouldn't be that surprised, though, if this game ends with a ton of goals but ends in a draw. You look at Bochum in their 11 league fixtures, they've played in 3-3-all draws. All three of those games have been at home. So that's what I'm pinning my hopes on, that it'll be 3-3. But I wouldn't be surprised if Bochum concede in the final 5 minutes, as they've done in two of those games. So maybe something to keep an eye on. I would be surprised if it ends 3-3. But based on what's happened this season, it wouldn't be much of a surprise. Let's move to the Continental Arena as Jahn Regensburg host Osnabrück. And this game's on Friday night. You look at two sides in different form. Osnabrück in their last five yet to haven't won. Three draws and two defeats. Jahn Regensburg, two wins, two draws, one defeat. So they've met on 12 previous occasions. Osnabrück have won half of those with six. The last time they met in the 2016-17 Dritte Liga season, Osnabrück were winners 2-1. A game, Mark, that Osnabrück desperately needs to win. They sit 3 points above the relegation playoff spot, which Bochum hold. Any hope that they could get the 3 points here?
Absolutely. Could nick a 1-0. Their defence is so good. The best defence in the league. Sure, they can nick a win. They just need to find a goal from somewhere. Maybe a penalty or an own goal or a deflection off somebody's bum. You know, that might help. We were talking about Bochum and Nuremberg and expecting goals, maybe a 3-3 draw. You can safely say this isn't really looking like a fixture full of goals. Jahn Regensburg against Osnabrück, yeah. One goal either way, if not a 0-0. I'm sorry to bore you with these predictions, but I just can't see many goals in this one.
It's a difficult league to predict, we understand. It's, I mean, every year we do the table predictions and we do our predictions. And it's okay to be wrong, because let's face it, this league is absolutely bonkers, and there's no way to fairly predict a league. And I think it'll be quite similar. What a difference it will make if Osnabrück get the first goal, put it that way, because then they'll just, you wouldn't be surprised if they shut up shop. We know how great their defense is, as we've mentioned throughout the podcast. So that'll be key. That'll be key if they can get the first goal.
Absolutely. And if they can get the win, you know, they're on 12 points, take you up to 15, you're going to be mid-table. Yep. Yeah. Jahn Regensburg are on 15 points. So a win would take them level with Jahn Regensburg on points. That's how crazy this league is.
Yeah, gotta love it. We'll move on to our final game of match day 12. It's Hanover and Sandhausen, 13th versus 14th. They've met on two previous occasions. That was in the 2016-17 season. Of course, Hanover gained promotion that season. And both games ended all square, a 0-0 in Hanover and a 1-1 in Sandhausen. This game, there's a bit of pressure on Mirko Slomka to get a result here. Their last five, win, loss, win, draw, draw. That's, as we mentioned in reviewing their previous fixture, that's not where they expect to be. And you can imagine where their home form has been atrocious this season. If they don't win here, let's put it this way, the noise of a Slomka Raus will be getting louder.
Absolutely. It's a big game for Slomka. It's those expectancy, the fans, you know, weighing heavily on Hanover. But they're playing a team that they can beat here. Sandhausen are in the worst run of form in the whole league without winning six. Not scoring goals, you know, the worst scoring record in the league. So they're there to be beat. Hanover just need to, you know, turn up, play their football, score a few goals, simple, 3 points, move on to the next fixture.
Yep.
And the fans need to try and stay with their side for a bit longer. They left them when they were playing Nuremberg. Nuremberg really beat them easily. Was it 4-0 the other week? And the Hanover fans were, you know, really not getting on their backs from an early juncture, and that really wasn't helpful. But, you know, the team really needs to come up with the goods and the 3 points and start winning games to take Hanover up the league. Get a couple of wins and you're right back up there again, because it's just a crazy league, as we say a lot.
Yeah, it's amazing. They win on the weekend, certain results go in favour. They could be in the top seven by the end of the match day. They're only 3 points behind Heidenheim in fifth, and they sit 14th. Mm-hmm. Extraordinary. That's our preview for match day 12. We have our topic questions, to which we have four. And we'll try and get through these without compromise or complication. We'll start with Dennis at Dennis ZZ Sport. He says, the Zweite Bundesliga is crazy, unsurprisingly. Never ceased to disappoint. He was at the Max Marlock Stadion in Nuremberg. He's a Jan Regensburg supporter, of course. The last second assist from keeper Alexander Meyer. Question is, what is with goals in injury times these days? Why are they trending? We were talking about this off-air, Mark. Not much of a trend. It's just football, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think games are generally lasting longer, and teams are, you know, intent on, you know, fitness is such a level, and you know, everyone's really wanting, desperate for a late goal to change anything, to win the points. You know, it's not unusual that games have five extra minutes, you know, and when the pressure tells and odd things happening and mistakes. This is why it's happening. It's more, maybe we didn't notice it in the olden days, you know, when you didn't get as much extra time or injury time. But with modern football, it's not unusual to see 8 minutes of extra time. Yeah, a lot of goals can be scored in extra time. We saw in Nuremberg against Auer the other evening on a Friday night, where, you know, there was two or three goals and a penalty save. So much action in just a few minutes. Crazy.
Yeah, that's the best explanation. I mean, Mark pretty much covered it. So, yeah, that's the best way to do it. And when the mind gets tired, yeah, that's what happens. Goals come a-begging. Our next question is from Daniel Yatta at Yaboa 17, no doubt a Hamburg supporter, which he is. Stuttgart looks a lot like Haasfeld of last season. Do you think they could fail to go up like Hamburg did? And if so, who will be your top three instead? I'll start this question off. I think Stuttgart will, in the end, find a way to stay promoted, to go up. I will stick with my top three. Well, actually, I won't stick with my top three. The only change that I had would be that Bielefeld will be in the top three now, and Nuremberg drop out. But I think Stuttgart will go up. What do you think?
I expect them to at least be in the promotion playoff place, where they are now, third. I expect Nuremberg to stop throwing away silly points and rise up the table. Maybe even Hanover to rise up. You know, the teams that were relegated from the Bundesliga last season. But Hamburg will go up automatically. Stuttgart, yeah, it'd be interesting to see how they react to these three straight defeats in the league. But they certainly have the quality. but they haven't been taking their chances recently. And as we saw, they missed Holger Badstuber. But yeah, top two as it stands, Stuttgart and Hamburg.
Yep, easy as. Our third question is from Benjack at Benjack94. Who is your most improved player so far this season? Mark, I'll give you first reign.
Right. It's for me, Bakary Yata of the league leaders, Hamburg SV. Maybe might seem an odd choice, but he's had a lot to contend with this season. There was a lot of controversy starting the season with his registration as a professional footballer. A lot of teams wanted to challenge Hamburg's wins against them. They wanted to take it to court because they felt that Bakary Yata wasn't correctly registered in Germany and he shouldn't be allowed to be playing professional football. So he had a lot to contend with, but he never really let his performances suffer, and he came through, and he's performing brilliantly, as we saw on Saturday with a goal against Stuttgart. So well done to Bakary Yata, and I hope he can keep it going all the way to promotion.
That we do. I mean, he's keeping Khalid Narai out of the side, and he's come so far from the humble beginnings, that is. Fair play. I've gone with Bochum's Silvery Gamvula. It was a toss-up between him and Mats Møller-Daly of St. Pauli, but I'm going with Gamvula. I see the leaps upon bounds that he's gone from his first Zweite Bundesliga season, where he only managed the 3 goals. He had this weird reputation of finding ways to get sent off. They brought him in. Some Bochum fans objected to the signing. 7 goals this season already. A few of them have come from the penalty spot. Yes, he probably should have more. And even in the cup game last night, he probably should have found the back of the net at least on one occasion. But I think he's developed quite well, and still has plenty to go. I'm going to stick with Gamvula. I think he's been the most improved player of the season. Our last question is from Steel Penguin at Steel Penguin 3. He says, hello everybody. He's going to reverse the question we've previously had. Which teams / players have not lived up to expectation? Mark, is there a team or a player that you would like to discuss?
Disappointed, obviously, with Hannover, but concentrate on Nuremberg. You know, they've been knocking at the door of victory, but letting points slip right at the end, that suggests that something's not right with their mentality. 11 points from winning positions, I'll crap on consistently about that. That's disappointing for me. They need to turn that around. If they can turn it around immediately, they can start rising up this league very, very nicely indeed, and push for promotion. But so far, it's been disappointing, which means that there's more pressure on coach Damir Kanadi, you know, because Nuremberg are expected to be in those top 3 places.
Yeah, I like that as a team disappointment. I'm going to go with a player, and more close to home for Mark and I, Grigor Kerbel. Don't think he's had the kind of season that he was expecting. He obviously had the loan half a year with Augsburg, where he showed quite a lot of promise. Joined Stuttgart on loan. Bit of expectation behind him, and I just don't think he's really risen. He hasn't really developed forward. I mean, yeah, okay, you know, there is pressure at Stuttgart, but he's given up a lot of soft goals between the legs and at his near post, and that's something to do with the goalkeeping coaches. Why his positioning just doesn't match up. You know, there's a lot of fundamental things that he's not doing correctly, or soundly for that matter. I mean, there's no correct way. There's the way you do it. But I think he needs to be a lot better. It puts a lot of pressure on him, obviously, when the offense is struggling. They're struggling in the final third, but ultimately, I think he needs to be a bit more stable. They do have Fabian Bredlow, who played in the cup game last night. So if he does not find a way to find some consistency, the Yank will be in place. That's all the time we have for this episode of the Zweite Bundesliga podcast. A big thank you to Mark for coming on.
Pleasure, absolute pleasure, Matt. Thank you. I will do it again when 1860 Munich reach the second division. It won't be long now.
We'll wait and see. The pleasure is all mine. And until next time, enjoy your weekend of Zweite Bundesliga football.